Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Pay Attention, Please, Hollywood Life's Real Housewives podcast. I'm Chris Rogers.
And I'm Eric Tedisco.
And we are back another week with a great interview and some news. But I know, Eric, you wanted to tease up our interview this week because it was a good one.
Yes, we are entering into the new era of Roni. And we had Sy De Silva, who is one of the six newbies for season 14 of Real Housewives of New York City. We chatted with her and it was a great lengthy conversation just about all what fans can expect from the new show and her dynamic with some of the other ladies, some of the former cast members that she spoke to, that she got advice from. So it was super, super fun. And Chris and I have both seen the first three episodes. The show starts this Sunday, the 16th. And it's honestly a really solid start. And we talk about this with Sy, but this isn't the Roni that we once knew. You know, this isn't Ramona. This isn't Sonia. This isn't Luann. You know, you could watch them all on other stuff that they're in. Yep. But this is different. And I think it's a welcome change. I'm someone that enjoys change for the most part when it comes to television. Mm-hmm. I mean, every great show has to have a start. So
yeah,
for have a solid start, which I think it's a really good beginning. Mm-hmm. It's super exciting. And so I'm really excited for everyone to listen to our interview with Sy later on in this episode and then see the show starting this Sunday, the 16th, once it starts airing on Bravo. It's a fun start.
Yeah. And honestly, like you said, change isn't easy for everyone. I'm the opposite of you. I don't embrace change, but you know, I do think it's important for anything to move forward. It needs to change a bit. And listen, this is like the Housewives. It's like the Marvel universe. It's like Housewives. Yeah. Like, you know, we have Luann and Sonia on a spinoff. We're getting a lot of the Roni girls, the original Roni girls on a girls trip. There are so many options that we're going to get our favorites. And you know, if you want to relive the old days and stuff, I mean, I was just doing it on Twitter before we started recording this, watching season 1 through 3 clips and just laughing. It's there to watch, you know, and we'll always have it. And now we have this great new group of women who we're going to get to know and fall in love with as well. Because we watched the first episodes and I think it too, it's a great start. Yeah. I found myself laughing and actually caring about the women throughout the three episodes and rooting for certain ones and wondering what the other one's scheming behind the other's back. So it's definitely good. Like Housewives, like it's following the formula. And everyone seems genuine. Like the friendships are real. That's the best part of it, is that these friendships are real. They're not just women who decided to join a random show and didn't know who they were getting on with. A lot of these women have had relationships with each other and friendships, and you know, viewers will see that play out as the new show debuts. I mean, it's the same show, but it's, you know,
same but different.
But yeah, and we'll get to that interview with Sy at the end of our chat here today. But let's go back to some headlines that have happened.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
In our home state of New Jersey, let's just start there because we love talking Jersey. I mean, we love talking RHO and J. Who are we kidding? So
yeah, a report came out, I believe it was a few days ago, stating that the entire cast of Real Housewives of New Jersey is returning for season 14, right? 14?
Yep, 14.
Can't believe we're up 14 already.
It's been a journey.
Yeah, the entire season 13 cast. And that means not only are Melissa and Teresa returning, but the friends, Jackie Goldschneider and Jennifer Fessler, are also returning. The report, it was reported by All About the Real Housewives, as well as People magazine. They both exclusively reported that they've heard from their own sources that the entire cast was asked back.
This has been confirmed several places, which tells me this has to be true.
Yeah, it seems pretty accurate. And that they were all invited back. It doesn't mean that everyone signed a contract, but I would assume everyone wants to return. I mean, we haven't heard from anyone that they don't want to come back. Yeah. Obviously, Teresa didn't want Melissa to come back. You know,
it's not sad, too bad.
Right. There was a rumor that a report or something that I think Teddy and Tamara talked about it on their podcast that Margaret didn't want to film with Louie, but
Tamara's coming back. They're all going
to
film.
Tamara said she spoke to Margaret. And yeah, Margaret's coming back. Like, she has no, you know, she doesn't like Louis, but she'll film with him if she has to. We don't know the logistics. We don't know if Louis is coming back. We know Teresa was invited. But yeah, as of now, they're all coming back and they are starting to film, I believe, in August.
Yep.
So we'll get a little bit of a later season as we predicted. Usually they start filming end of May, beginning of June. So we're about 2 months difference. We'll probably get a premiere. I don't know. What did we get last year? February?
You're getting February.
So like April?
Yeah, maybe. March? Yeah, it kind of depends on if they shuffle things around and like, when are they going to film the next Atlanta? When are they going to film the next OC? Because sometimes they jump right into it. Other times, like, they wait. So it's really like a show by show situation. We've obviously talked extensively throughout the airing of Real Housewives of New Jersey season 13 about who's coming back. What are they going to do? When I saw this report, I was excited because I was like, okay, like, I'm glad that there's some report and that we kind of have an idea of what's going on. From a production standpoint, I totally get it. There's so much about this one doesn't want to film with this one. They don't want to film with this one. Ratings are high. If you're Bravo, you just say, guess what? You're all invited back. And if you don't want to come back, then that's on you.
Yeah.
It's not us. So from a production standpoint, I totally get it. They had very high ratings, especially towards the end of the season.
Yep.
I think they probably have the most engagement in terms of like social media, like in terms maybe other than like Beverly Hills. And we're going to talk about Beverly Hills in the next topic. But in terms of the two Housewives franchises, I think those are the top two, probably by far. So again, it's like when Housewives, you switch things up, it's a risk. It's always a risk. They're taking a risk with New York. We're going to see how it goes. You and I like it. Not everyone's probably going to like it. There's always a risk. There was a risk.
Taking a risk with Tamara and Vicky, you know, and it didn't work.
No, it didn't, because look at what's happening now.
Yeah.
Tamara's back and Vicky's
Heather's back. They brought Heather back and bringing Vicky. Yeah.
And I know I have said on this podcast, like, maybe cut Teresa and Melissa, but like, it is such a big swing and it is such a risk. And
you can do that. Unless you're
there, why do that? You know, with Roni, at least like the show was crumbling and they were like, we got to switch things up.
Yeah.
Jersey, I think this was like the highest rated season in a couple of years and like the highest rated reunions. Like, there's a lot more interest and engagement. And even if people hate something, it's like, I think they always say like the opposite of love.
Love is indifference.
Yes.
But if
people hate Teresa, people hate Louie, people hate Melissa, people hate Joe, people hate Jen Aiden, people hate Margaret, but they care. People are talking about it. People are tweeting about it. People
care.
That's what you want in a television show, both reality television and scripted television. So I totally get it from production standpoint. And I'm excited for like cameras to start rolling and for us to start seeing like them spotted out and, you know, paparazzi pictures and fan pictures and whatnot of them filming, because I haven't wrapped my mind around how this is going to work yet. How are these filming together? How is Melissa, who's hosting the party? Dolores every week? Like, and this is a long conversation that we'll get into as they probably start filming. Yeah. We start hearing things, but I haven't wrapped my mind around how this is, the logistics are going to work yet. I don't get it. I don't know how it's going to work.
I don't either. I'm just, I'm a little happy that they're filming later, because I'm hoping that we get some holidays, at least Halloween.
I know, but if they start filming in August, that tells me, because they have,
I think we'll get Halloween
COVID season, and they ended with the Halloween party. Remember, there was like that, they had that Halloween party with the fight. I think Margaret hosted when they were all dressed up.
It was when Jackie and Teresa were getting along. Yeah,
it was the COVID season, because it started with like Evan's birthday,
right?
Like the parking lot. So
we'll at least get Halloween.
Yeah,
not sure about Thanksgiving or Christmas, but we'll see.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Maybe Hanukkah, you know, I don't know. We'll get into winter, but we will see. You know, I'm excited. I can't wait to see what happens next. We'll go from there. Another thing, another show that is sort of up in the air again now is Beverly Hills. Obviously, we talked a little bit about the Kyle Mauricio separation. Not any really new developments from them specifically, but there was, you know, came out this week that cameras are back up filming a little bit again to cover a little bit of the aftermath of, you know, the quote unquote separation.
Yeah. A la Scandoval, a la Drew and Ralph. This is a repeating pattern, which works with me. Like, I know from a production standpoint, it's probably more difficult in terms of like when camera people are around, but like from a viewer standpoint, like that's what we want when we're watching these people's lives, we don't only want to watch it from March to July, you know, we right. want a year round thing. So I totally respect Bravo for doing this multiple yeah. times when these big things are breaking. And I'm excited to see, you know, the X months later, or I guess mm-hmm.
it's days. Yeah, it'll really be something like that. Yeah, we'll get like a flash of it at the beginning of the season. And then yeah,
we could make the trailer right now, probably.
Yeah.
We know how they work.
But yeah, I'm interested to see what plays out. I saw an interesting theory this morning on Twitter. Heather McDonald was on, I guess it was her own podcast or something. And she's theorizing that this whole Kyle Mauricio thing is almost like a hype to build up the season, and that it's not really as big as maybe people are thinking it is. The things she noted were, obviously we've heard that like, oh, Beverly Hills is going to be boring this season. Nothing's happening. Lisa Rinna's not there anymore. You know, people are like, oh, nothing's being leaked to the press. And then others are like, well, maybe that's because nothing's happening. You know, right. She theorized that this is being hyped up to get sort of the attention that Vanderpump got when Ariana and Tom split, yeah. et cetera. And people tuned in looking for clues and, you know, from the beginning and stuff like that. But she also noted, I don't know if you saw, but Kyle and Teddy went to Craig's for dinner, which is obviously a really popular celeb, like star-studded restaurant in West Hollywood. You don't really go there unless you want to be seen. There's paparazzi outside of it all the time. And Kyle and Teddy Mellencamp went, I think it was Friday night, and you know, they were spotted coming out. And then when she was backing up her car, she left her windows down so that the paparazzi, you know, could ask some questions. I don't know yeah. what I believe. It's interesting to hear different theories, mm-hmm. and I'm waiting to see what else comes from it. But you know, Kyle and Mauricio are posting like happy family photos, and you know, fans are like, oh, this is, you know, her trying to downplay the drama, and she clapped back with like a middle finger emoji. So who knows what's going on? I just like can't wait to see the new season, but this might mean that the rumored November release date might get pushed back a little bit. It might be December or January now. I don't know, but
maybe, but I don't know if they would do that. I mean,
November is still 6 months away. They could just film this new stuff.
They have all the footage, yeah. and you know, Beverly Hills is a top performer in terms of ratings and everything. So I don't know how much they would delay it just to, you know, I mean, it's probably going to just be one episode of them discussing what happened, like how they did with Scandoval, you know, and that didn't delay everything, even though that happened during the season. So they had more time to plan. But yeah, there's a lot of holes in this story. I'm not really understanding. Like, it's like, I want to be like, oh, this is what I think, but I don't even know. Like,
I know.
The Kyle Morgan of it all just doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
I'm not understanding like what they're angling at, if they are trying to angle at something at all. Like, I don't know. It's just so unlike Kyle, because I feel like Kyle has always been very transparent on the show. That's why she's always been one of the favorite households. Like, I don't know. It's like, is she trying to do this to get attention for the show? Like,
hard to believe that.
It's never been like that, but that's what it's kind of coming off as. And then like, I don't know, I guess we're all going based on this report that said they were separated. Like, what if during the season they were dealing with marital issues, which they've confirmed, and we had heard that already.
Something will be addressed on the show.
And again, what does separated mean? Right. Like, it doesn't mean any paperwork was filed. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they moved out. Like, I think we're all jumping onto that initial report, which I do think it was definitely accurate to a degree. I mean, Dave Quinn has a lot of sources. It's a People article. I'm just not, and they were very specific about, we're not getting divorced. So I think the truth is somewhere in the middle in terms of like, they were struggling. I don't think they were officially like broken up. Uh-huh. I just the Morgan weight of it all very confuses me like a lot. And I don't, they're like, but then Kyle and Mauricio are posting each other, and we haven't heard any of the girls' reactions. And I know Garcelle's going to be on Watch What Happens Live this week, so she'll definitely be asked about it.
Yeah,
because no one has really done anything where they've been asked about it. You know, like we said, like Kathy's going to be asked, Dorit's going to be asked. Oh, I saw something on Twitter, and like I started doing a little research. I feel like something is with Kyle and Dorit. Like, they don't like each other's posts. They haven't posted each other. I feel like there's something you should like look
speculation at about that,
because
too.
There's something I think going on with them. But again, like, who the hell knows? Yeah. I don't know. I saw something, and then I looked, and I was like, yeah, they haven't really like been posting each other, like liking each other's stuff. And Dorit and PK are in a very interesting spot, because they have close ties with both Kyle and Mauricio. Like they're tight foursome.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's just a lot of speculation. And it is like, it's like, no one wants to be played for a fool. Like, are they really trying to do a scandal on us of like, this was such a pop culture moment that they're trying to, you know, find success again by using the Mauricio and Kyle of it all? Like, I don't know. So,
I think we're going to have to wait till it plays out and just see. Like Garcelle, like you said, Garcelle's going to be a watch Robin's life. I'm interested to see what she says and then just see what else comes out in the next few months. You know, I think we're unfortunately going to have to wait a bit until the show, you know, trailer drops eventually, or I don't know, you know, maybe more statements are released, but we'll see. Speaking of awkward, weird splits, maybe divorce, not Kim Zolciak of it all.
Now I think we got played with this one.
I think we got played with this one. That's definitely my opinion as well. Her and Croy announced that they called off their divorce out of the blue. I mean, it did come like a day or two after they were pictured at church together with their kids. But this is after like 2 months of like going back and forth at each other with strong accusations of financial ruin,
gambling addiction,
emotional abuse, like
something like kidnapping or something.
Yeah, like 911 calls. Like, and then also, nope, we're calling off our divorce. We love each other.
No, it doesn't work like that. Sorry, there's something not right here. It doesn't work like that. I don't care how strong you are as a couple, how not strong you are as a couple. It don't work like that.
No. It's weird. And why all the very public accusations about each other? Now, granted, a lot of these accusations came through legal paperwork. But what's interesting, I don't know. I don't know the whole legal system. I don't know if you can have a lawyer draft something up and send it to a media outlet, because I know firsthand we weren't able to access any of these so-called docs.
Yeah.
A lot of outlets were like, oh, you know, we exclusively obtained these docs. It makes me wonder if their reps or lawyer like drafted up some sort of
rather than actually filing it.
And I don't know. I don't want to know.
They were full of shit the whole time.
Yeah, just something seems fishy. And even Kenya Moore did an after show thing, and she basically said that she thinks the divorce was all for show. She thinks it was for a way to get out of some sort of bankruptcy claim or financial ruin or something, because we do know it's been ongoing reports about Kim and Croy are like facing potential foreclosure on their house. Now Kim was actually just on this past week's Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Is that ironic? I'm not so sure. Like,
I don't know. So that episode, I predict, was filmed somewhere in February-ish.
No, I think earlier. March.
Really?
I think definitely earlier, because remember, this season started with BravoCon.
Yeah.
That was October. And I don't think that we've seen, I think this was like November or December.
Okay.
Maybe January. It definitely wasn't that.
Something that they said during their conversation that I figured out the date. It might've been January. It was something they mentioned. Lisa Wu brought up the foreclosure reports, and I think I found that they didn't come out till January, I think.
Yeah, this could have been January, because we're already over halfway through the season.
Yeah, and you know how editors can sometimes put things earlier that got filmed later. What's interesting is that Lisa asked him about the foreclosure thing. She's like, are you in foreclosure? Like, I read a report. I hope not, you know? And Kim's like, no, do you think I'd be in foreclosure over $200,000? And it's funny because like immediately after they called up their divorce this week, another report came out that said they are facing again, it says they're facing like a foreclosure,
order
or something based on like a $200,000 to $300,000 unpaid loan. And so it's like, oh shoot, she just talked about that on the episode, denied it, and then here it is being reported again. So it's like, was she lying on the show as well? You know, was the divorce an attempt to get out of this financial stuff? And maybe they found out if they do go through with the divorce, it's going to cost them more than if they just stay together and deal with the financial stuff they're dealing with. I don't know. We don't know the truth. I still think she's great TV. I think she'd be great back on the show. I mean,
I thought she was trying a little hard at that dinner, didn't you? You just felt like it was, she was trying to audition to get back on, which this whole divorce might have been a performance. That's kind of what I was getting. We haven't had Kim on TV in a while, so we don't, you know, now how she's different or the same. Like, yeah, it just
definitely, even on Housewives, it's been a long time. Like, she was on obviously her spinoff a couple of years ago, but Housewives, she hasn't been on since season 10. And that was,
yeah,
was five, that five, status, I think?
Yeah, that was five. That's been 5+ years. I never was really watching Don't Be Tardy, so that wasn't really my cup of tea. I haven't seen Kim's Zolciak in a while. But I mean, God, that was
very different show.
Again, probably the only interesting moment of this episode. Like, my God. And we're going to talk about the mid-season trailer. And like, again, I hate that every week I come on here and like shit on Atlanta. I'm looking at Twitter all the time about this. Like, people are not enjoying it. It's fair to say, right? Like, I don't think that's out of pocket for me to say. Like, there's not enough group scenes. Like, we're going to talk about OC, which love, you're the same, loving.
Yeah.
There's no, like, everything is about, like, them, like, with their husband or their sister, like, at the kitchen table. Like, group scenes, like, ever. Like, even this whole Mommy Nation thing that Sonya had, like, it was, like, a big public event. Like, we didn't even see the women, like, talking to each other. Like, nothing was established. Like, who feels this way about who likes who doesn't like who? Like, there's just nothing coming from, like, the dynamic of the group. And at the end of the day, like, Housewives has the individual personal stories and it also has the group dynamics. And I think like OC is working right now because everyone's life is also infused with the group dynamic. Like, I think that Jersey is good with that. I think Miami's been really great about that. Like, Atlanta is just not working for me. And I know I'm a broken record with this.
No, I know. And even when we do get the group scenes, half the cast doesn't go. Candy didn't go to so many events. It's not at an event. Drew's not at an event. It's like, we need all of you together. I don't want to just watch Marlo, Sonia, and I love Sheree, but like her with Marlo and
boring.
I'm just not here for it.
That dynamic because they all like each other.
Yes. Yeah. We need the conflict, the harder conversations, stuff like that. But I'm at least excited that we're going to get to the root of Drew and Ralph's split, which we saw heavily featured in the mid-season trailer. There's speculation that Drew cheated on Ralph with female basketball player Tae Young.
Can't say I'm familiar with her, but sure.
Same, yeah. But there was also like footage of Drew acting in Todd Tucker's new movie, and she has a pretty steamy sex scene. So it's unclear if like Ty is her co-star in that movie. I'm not sure yet. We'll see it play out. But I didn't know any of this, so I actually love that. Like, we actually got surprised by something on Housewives. Mm-hmm. It showed that it was kind of reported, I guess, like a few months ago. But I think it was reported on like a little lesser known outlets and stuff, or maybe in the deeper stratosphere of Housewives that I'm personally maybe not that deep into. But I love that. Like, I was like, oh, I didn't know about this. You know, it was like a cool surprise, which is hard to get not spoiled with Housewives these days. I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out. Because my whole, I insinuated that like, or assume that Ralph cheated on Drew, because I think that's what she put in her filing, her divorce filing. So now it's like, oh, wait, did Drew cheat on Ralph? I don't know. We'll have to see.
My gut is telling me this whole Tae Young thing might be a big thing of nothing.
Yeah.
I feel like they're mixing up footage in the trailer. Again, I don't want to, be negative Nancy over here. I just feel like we might not get that much out of this.
But I think they mix it together to make it seem like one big thing. And it's
Bravo,
like, when someone on screen, like Candy or Marlo, was saying, I just saw a kiss. It's like, Candy's probably talking about the movie.
Absolutely.
And then, 100%. You know, when Marlo's like, I filmed it. Maybe it was like them acting, her and their co-star.
What I think we're getting.
Yeah, it's almost like I feel like they did that with Strippergate with Bolo and stuff. We didn't get as much as we thought we would get. And then the ladies didn't talk about it at all, remember? It was just like, come on. So I'm hoping it lives up to the hype. But I'm cautiously optimistic, you know, like,
we're going to get the trip to Portugal, which at least it's like the women there together.
Yeah, I'm excited for like, that.
Let's see, like, enough with, like, I'm sorry, enough with Sonia's sister and her family. And congratulations, Sana, you're pregnant. Do you think that's going to have any impact on her coming back next season? If she's invited?
No comment.
Yeah, I know. I don't, I think there's going to be changes in the ATL coming up.
Yeah, we'll talk about that as the season gets.
And I think Candy is so, I love Candy. She's so checked out.
She's checked out like Nini was checked out in her final seasons.
Checked out. And listen, I would be too if I had that much going on and was maybe, I mean, she's definitely making a lot of money from Atlanta, but like she doesn't need the show. She's got so much going on. She's one of the hardest working women. Like she's incredible. I think her time has passed. I don't think
she needs a paycheck. I think she's using it as free publicity for the other projects she's working on. So I think she'll do it as long as they allow her to like miss this thing, miss that thing, but still be on the show, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Just real quick, how about them editing Cynthia out?
Like, I didn't even realize, honestly, that.
So I remember because I remember
all my detectives. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I remember like in the original trailer for the full season, like they had teased like everyone like making appearances and Cynthia was at that Kenya Moore hair care thing that was on this latest episode and they'd put it in the trailer and then she's not there. Like, I don't get that. Like, why isn't it in the trailer? Why did they decide to cut her? Like, I feel like that would have been something good to like put in the promo. It's like, oh, next week is with Cynthia. Yeah. Like everyone knew this episode was going to be with Kim Zolciak and the OGs. Like, I was confused by that. I did see her again pop up.
In the mid-season trailer. Yeah.
There was like a group, they're like taking a group picture or something and she's there. Again, I don't know how much she'll be featured or if she'll be involved in anything, but I just thought that was an odd decision from a production standpoint and Twitter picked up on it real quick. They don't miss a beat.
Twitter is not happy with Atlanta producers. We will see what else comes as the season goes on. We'll see. Yeah. But yeah, like you said, we're loving OC. OC is, you know, back in its golden era. It is drama from day one. We're five, maybe six. How many episodes are we now? Five or six. And it's just like really
good. I think this was six because I think they went to Montana on four and then they ended it on six.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So this week is their last day in Montana. We finish with the cookout at night where Tamara had her talk with Jen about Ryan. And, you know, Jen's like, Jen did call Ryan the next morning and she's like, you know, she didn't talk to him. She's like, I'll talk to him when I get home about this stuff. But before we get to that, what did you think of, because they had sort of like a dinner and they talked about their highs and lows of the trip. Yeah.
And when that is so a producer.
That's such a Housewives. Yeah. It's like,
producer. But I'm fine with it because it gets people talking.
Yeah, exactly. The ones that stood out to me obviously were Heather's high and low. You know, her high was shoveling animal crap. And she said that
it makes her realize that basically there's people that don't have as much money as her out there, which like, no kidding.
Right. I think she meant well with what she was saying. She said it the wrong way. And Tamara, you know, and Shannon, they kind of squirmed and they were like, okay, Heather, like, you know, and they're
That is Heather Dubrow. Like she doesn't, and I think I talked about this, like she doesn't mean to, she just comes off that way. Like she can't help herself. And I really think she's like a good person. It just is a little snooty and like, I think it's intentional. It's just her.
Well, it's just the way she delivers things. Yes. And sometimes she's really great at it. And sometimes she's like, just like when she said her low was, basically, she said Tamara and Shannon getting back together and because she feels a little left out, but she didn't really like express it well. She basically said that she felt left out in a certain moment during the day. And they were like, what are you talking about? You were in the room with us just before that. You know, like we went to curl my hair. Like, what do you have to be attached to us at all times? But then Heather in her confessional explained that it was like little moments throughout the trip and like producers, like we saw footage of those moments. I wish she would have explained that, like, you know, when they were taking shots together and she was like, what are you doing taking shots? And they didn't even pay attention to her. There was another moment where I think they were in the living room or something. I don't know. There was a couple moments where she was like trying to get their attention And Tamara and Shannon were so like intertwined and so connected that they weren't really paying attention to Heather. And I think now that Tamara's back on the show with Shannon, Heather doesn't feel like she fits in that dynamic. You know, she was good friends with Tamara her first round on the show. They had a falling out. Shannon came on the show. Tamara and Shannon buddied up. And then Heather kind of left.
Yeah.
So, I think they were good by the time she left. But she wasn't around in those 5 years or however in between that Tamara and Shannon really got close.
Right.
And so now she's experiencing this whole dynamic again for the first time. And I don't know. She's just upset and stuff. And I felt bad for her. But her delivery was off. So it wasn't good. And then, of course, she rattled Gina, too, by saying that Gina shouldn't be telling Travis about being triggered by her split with Matt and, you know, how much will he put up with and piss Gina off. So Heather is, you know, jeopardizing a lot of her friendships at this point, which kind of sucks because I really love her on the show.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bode well for her possible return next season, especially, I mean, we already know she sold her OC house.
Yeah.
She's living in LA.
When I had interviewed her, like, she obviously had said multiple times, this is a hard season for me. I'm confused about what went down. And like, I think this is the start of we're seeing that where like, she doesn't have an in anywhere. Like Tamara and Shannon are, whether intentionally or unintentionally, kind of blocking her out because they're forming a tight friendship again. They're, you know, they've rekindled. Mm-hmm. Gina and Emily have each other and like, they're starting to get annoyed with Heather. Heather just doesn't really have an in anywhere. Yeah. Like clearly her and Taylor Armstrong aren't going to be BFFs. No. Jen Patrianti is the newbie. So she just doesn't fit. Like her puzzle piece doesn't fit in the big picture of it all. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that gets all fleshed out because I feel like there's still so much more that like we haven't seen in like previews and stuff that's going to happen with like drama between Heather and everyone else. Like we've heard that Tamara like explodes on her. And I think it might be either the second cast trip or like the very, very end. So we're not going to get that till the second half, I'm sure. But yeah, it's just, there's just so many interesting dynamics happening with OC that is like what you want from Housewives, like the Gina and Heather of it all. And then like how Gina and Emily feel about the others and like Tamara and Shannon reuniting and Tamara, what she's doing to Jen Pedranti, which is like, my God, Tamara is great at knowing how Housewives work. And Jen Pedranti is a fish out of water that you see. She's like, oh shit, I know exactly.
Wow, I thought this girl was my friend.
What this girl is doing to me. Like, I thought we were friends. And I think it's maybe been overstated. Like, I don't think they were that good of friends.
No, Tamara,
Well,
Tamara said on her podcast, I actually listened, I don't know if it was yesterday's episode or earlier this week, but she basically said that her and Jen were not really talking at the time she got cast on the show. They were friends prior, but they kind of had that falling out over Jen's split with Will, her husband, and all the stuff with Ryan. And then when she got cast on the show, you know, obviously they had Jen come on as Tamara's friend and they were friends, but she said they weren't as close as people think. With Jen coming on, they had some unresolved issues. And now I think we're seeing that play out, but Jen's still playing the whole like, wait, we were good friends. Like what, you know, and I think she's not sharing the whole truth. Where I know some people think Tamara overshares the truth. Personally, I like it. It gives us a show.
Tamara's delivering. Honestly, everyone's delivering though. That's why this season is good. Is everybody's doing something. Like, is Gina my favorite? No, but she's getting in the mix.
Yeah.
She's getting in the mix. Is she being dramatic about Jen Pedranti's, you know,
a little bit.
Like, yeah, it's a little dramatic, but I feel like everyone's bringing it. Next week is the napkin throw. And just from the preview, it looks like Tamara's trying to have a moment. Just from what I saw, we're going to discuss this more at length next week when we see the full episode because previews are previews and clips are clips.
Yeah.
But do you like Jen's face? She's like, what are you doing? Like, I think her dynamic is so great. I love Jen. I'm loving Jen Pedranti. She doesn't feel like a tryhard and it doesn't feel like she was like thirsty to be on the show. Hi, Bronwyn. Like, I'm not getting that vibe. Like, I'm curious. Hopefully we can interview her, but I'm curious, like, how long she's been in the mix. I think she actually was supposed to be when Bronwyn got added. Like, she
season 14, she auditioned or something. It wasn't the time. Or they picked Bronwyn.
Yeah.
And then she said she hadn't heard anything yet until they asked her for season 17. So,
Noella was really wanted to be on the show. Like, I'm not getting the vibe that Jen is like that. So I'm loving her. I'm loving the show. And next week looks good. That's what they're all at a long table. They're all dressed nice. They're fighting. Like Atlanta has yet to do that this season. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. So OC, thank you for delivering.
The good news is from what we hear, OC will be on air through October. Yes, so I think we're going to get a good lengthy season, mm-hmm. a good reunion eventually. Yep. So yeah, I'm excited to see what comes from that. Real quick, before we wrap up, I do want to know what you thought of the first two episodes of Crappy Lake.
Hysterical. Yeah. Just full-blown comedy. I mean, we got the gist of it just from our interview with Luann and Sonia when they were just going back and forth and we couldn't get a word in, and I don't even know what Sonia's talking about. Like, it's funny. I saw the ratings weren't great, but that's not shocking. I don't think Bravo's has a ton
of off. They're not going to get Housewives numbers, but maybe word of mouth will help it and it'll boost a little bit.
I am hearing positive. Like everyone's saying good things about it, which is fun. It's fun to see Sonia, especially back on TV, because we haven't had her on a girls trip yet or anything. And New York has been over for like 2 years now. So it's just hysterical. Like just them landing and then there's animals on the runway and the people have, damn well, not one soul in that town had any idea who those two women were. Not one person. Like, it's just so funny. And it's just hysterical. Like, it's just a funny show. Like, is it the best, biggest thing ever? Like, no, like if I miss an episode, like no big deal, but it's just very funny and it's humorous and it's the antithesis of the dark stuff that we've been getting on, Scandoval and Jersey. So it's just fun humor and Luann and Sonia always deliver. One thing about that New York group with Ramona and Dorinda, it's like, you can't make this shit up. Like they are just hysterical.
Yeah. And I have hope for the new cast of Roni to live up to that. I think from what we've seen the first three episodes, it's a really good cast. We've said this, they're interesting. They are funny at times. They, throw shade at each other. Even in the first episode, I was laughing by the end of it. When people watch, they'll see why. We see inside Jenna Lyon's house. We see inside some of the other ladies' Hampton's houses. It's classic Roni to a point, but it also feels fresh and new and different, which is, I think, what we need to keep this franchise going. Mm-hmm. For the foreseeable future, we want this franchise to last. We'll see how it works, and I'm sure they'll test the waters to see if they should be doing this with other franchises. I don't know if others are ready. We can discuss that another time, but Roni's good. Everyone should tune in, give it a chance.
Before we go, I just want to do ratings prediction. How do you think the first episode's gonna do in the total viewer thing,
Total live viewers. I am going to guess in the 700,000s.
You too. I'm going to guess 74.
Sorry. All right, I'll go with 77. And we'll see you next week.
Yes, we'll see. We'll hope everyone enjoys the chat with Sai. She was great. We had a lot of fun.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Pay Attention Please podcast, Hollywood Life's Real Housewives podcast. And Eric and I are so excited because we have none other than Real Housewives of New York City's one of their newest stars, Sai De Silva. Hi, Sai.
Hi, so excited to chat.
Us too. We've seen a few episodes. We won't spoil too much, but we were just saying we are loving the new show. The cast is just dynamite. And especially you're such a force on the show already. How are you feeling going into it? Do you have any nerves or anything?
I don't know if I'm necessarily nervous. It's just, I think we've been doing this for so long now, and it's just that the audience is just now seeing it, the viewers are just now seeing it, and it's something that we've been working on forever. So I'm so ready to just let it air, let the world see what we've been working on. So I'm more excited than nervous, I guess. Okay.
Had you seen the first 13 seasons of the show, and did you watch it specifically before filming began?
I definitely did not see all 13. I think I probably dropped off around maybe when Heather left in that time. Okay. And then I looked at the last season, maybe three episodes. Mm-hmm. But it changed so much that I wasn't getting what I wanted from it, but I do watch other season. Other franchises. I love Atlanta. Atlanta is hysterical. Oh, so still love Beverly Hills, but yeah.
Have you watched any of Jersey?
I actually have not watched Jersey. Oh, that's a good one. A little dark for me.
Oh, it's a commitment to watch all of them. So I don't blame you for picking and choosing.
It's a commitment, right? You know, and I'm trying to like fandangle Apple TV and you know, all these Netflix shows. I'm just trying to keep my head above water here. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, us too.
Yeah. Now Taglines just came out the other day and yours is, in New York, there's a lot of bad apples, but I'm the baddest of the bunch. How did that tagline, we love it, first off. And secondly, how did that come up? And was there like any others that you recorded that maybe you were hoping would land?
Yes.
I
recorded four of them, I believe, three or four of them. I did like them all. I definitely liked another one as well. But this one read really well and it was dynamic. It's also very much so, you know, kind of that pun playing on apples. You know, we are the big apple. And I am the baddest of the bunch. So, I have to give full shout out to my followers. They came up with all of my taglines. Oh. I reached out on stories and I was like, I am stumped. I really don't know what I want my tagline to be or what this looks like for me. You know, can you help me? And I had hundreds of people with like really, really good taglines. Like my followers are amazing. That community is fantastic. Like they're very witty. They're funny. They get me. They get my personality. Definitely it wasn't me. It was all them.
What do you think of the other girls' taglines? Because all of them are pretty in their own way.
Bryn is very much so.
That's a great one.
I think everyone's calling for Bryn's tagline because it's it's just something that is so unexpected. From a housewife in a tagline.
Yeah.
But Bryn has this like very flirtatious nature about her. She's just here to live life and have fun. So I think her tagline fits her very, very well. It's hysterical. And then Jenna's, it has a lot to do with her lash company that she has. So I think it's also fitting. Same thing with Jessel Uba. Uba is the secret ingredient. Okay. Like she is what she is. So I think everyone's tagline was spot on.
Are you allowed to tell us what that one the other one you love that you did?
No, I don't want to give it away.
You might use the next season.
Yeah. How about, you know, I don't know what's happening, but maybe another season. Who knows?
Fingers crossed.
I'm going to keep it a secret.
Si, we know you're of the group. You're the only one that lives in Brooklyn, correct?
Yes.
So now at the beginning of the original Roni, Alex McCord was always like treated meanly because she lived in Brooklyn. That did not happen to you, did it?
No, because Brooklyn is on the map. Like there's so many celebrities that live in Brooklyn. I mean, James Bond is my neighbor down the block. Like I'm just hoping to run into him all the time. But I have the biggest celebrity crush on Daniel Craig. But, Brooklyn is fun. It's great. It's not what it used to be. It evolved so much. And for me to say that is coming from a place where I grew up here. So I went to high school here. I went to college here. Like I've seen Brooklyn drastically change over the years and it's definitely not what it used to be. Brooklyn is always going to be my heart. The old Brooklyn I still love. That's what raised me. But at the same time now, there's so many people. There's an influx of people who have moved here. You get more space. There's more restaurants there. I feel like there's more culture here. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I rep Brooklyn all day, every day.
Yeah.
Like the biggest Brooklynite.
I mean, I almost love it. It's almost like, obviously the show is evolving with this reboot. So it's almost like, I know we got Alex McCord in Brooklyn, but they treated it like it was below everyone else. Yeah. And now you're kind of coming in and showing how cool Brooklyn is and how much of a bigger part of New York, I guess it is now. Mm-hmm.
It's always been. It's always been on the map. I just think that people had this mentality that New York City was only the Upper East Side.
Yeah.
And there's so many other boroughs that we haven't even talked about or touched. And every borough has its own vibe. Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily mean because you don't live in the city that it's, oh my God, it's a terrible thing. Like, you know, even looking back at Gossip Girl, remember Gossip Girl? And it was Jenny, I believe, and she lived in Brooklyn. Everyone treated her so bad that she lived in Brooklyn. Even when I grew up, taxis, If you caught a yellow taxi, they would not go to Brooklyn. Like, you had to jump in and just be like, drive. Mm-hmm. And then tell them where you're going later on. But that's changed. Like, that whole thing has completely changed. Now, when you say you live in Brooklyn, people are like, oh my God, where? I love Brooklyn. So it is on the map.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think there was a map that was going around on social media a week or two ago showing where everyone is. And everyone's like below Central Park. You're in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a good representation of the new New York City cast. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're getting a different perspective of the city as viewers. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like super excited for it.
Me too. It's real. Like, this is real. This is what New York City is. We all don't just live in the same neighborhood. It's very unrealistic to live in the same neighborhood.
Yeah. This is a group of a lot of big personalities, all six of you. Going into the season, who did you connect with the most? And did that change at all once you wrapped filming?
I think going into the season, Bryn and I were very, very close. I think her and I were the closest. And I think towards the end, there was a lot of tension between us. I think we had a lot of, we have a lot of similarities as far as our upbringing. So we kind of just automatically gravitated towards one another. But I think, you know, after spending a lot of time with one another, you just kind of, enough is enough, you know. Friends get on each other's nerves. But I think definitely her and I were the closest, but for the most part, we're all super, super cool until they see my confessional. No, I'm kidding.
You have some shady confessionals in those episodes. We're not going to say what, but shady.
Mm-hmm. I have shady confessionals.
I think so, but that's what Housewives is all about.
Yeah, I mean, you're all a little bit shady. That's what we want.
Yeah,
there's all a little bit of shade in there.
Unshade, and that's
fine. It's cool. It's whatever.
Yeah.
Can you tease a little bit? Obviously, you said you and Bryn run into some tension as the season goes on. Can you tease a little bit about that?
I think we actually saw it in the trailer. You know, Bryn's birthday party. You know, it just didn't necessarily go as happy birthday as one might hope. You know, there was, you know, possibly a little F you in there, but we're going to leave that at towards the end of the season. I can't say too much, unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of he say, she say.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, who did you maybe not bond with at first, but then grew to form a tighter relationship with?
I think I connected with everyone. You know, I yelled at some people a little bit more than others, but again, I'm hangry. Okay. If I don't eat, I am a terrible human being, and I don't advise being around me when I'm hungry. Like, I just, I'm like the Snicker commercial, you know, just like feed the diva, please. Yeah. So, I think everyone has gotten to know my personality really well, and they know that I'm not a malicious person. I just kind of, you know, sometimes we'll just be very straightforward, especially if I need to eat. I think we all kind of, again, I started off strong with Bryn, but then we've all gotten to know one another, and we're like a very solid group. Mm-hmm. You know, there's tension, but there's also resolution at the end.
Yeah.
Obviously with Housewives comes cast trips. You go on a couple this season, and, you know, right off the bat in the first couple episodes, we see you go on one. What was it like traveling with these ladies? You know, obviously you guys didn't skimp on packing and bringing like all your belongings. That's something, you know, funny that viewers will see. So what was it like overall just traveling with these ladies and going on these girls trips?
Oh my God, they complain so much. My castmates love to complain. It's very hard to host and please everyone in this group just because we all have different tastes. You know, it's hard. They often say that, like, if you're dating someone and in a relationship, you'll know if you want to be with this person or not if you travel with them.
Yeah.
Like, you have to go on a trip to see how it goes, because everyone has their thing about them, or an ick or something. So traveling with five other women is not easy. It's definitely like we are all stuck in our ways. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day too, when we needed space, we would just go in our room and close the door. And, you know, a lot of half of us are mothers. So, you know, we would have those moments where we needed to FaceTime our kids or do those things and kind of have to take a step away. But for the most part, it was so much fun. But there were times where I was just like, I need everyone to just go away. Please just go away. But we made it work, and it was a girls trip. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. Who did you find to be the most high maintenance of the group when you guys were traveling?
Jessel. Jessel is very high maintenance. She is very high maintenance, and she, I don't think she realized how high maintenance she was.
Yeah, you learn a lot about yourself, I think, when you travel with others.
I think she learned a lot about herself. I don't think she realized, because me expressing to her that she's high maintenance still didn't stick to her. Like, it just, she was like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? But I think when you watch yourself back, you realize, okay, now I understand, you know, what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Who would you say causes the most drama this season?
Erin. Erin definitely is a shit starter. Like, she loves to stir the pot. She's here to stir the pot, and we're here to try and figure out, like, okay, what ingredients did she put in this pot that she's stirring? Like, how do we maneuver and figure this out?
It's a messy pot.
It's a very hot, messy pot.
Yeah. Sai, what can fans kind of expect from your personal story, whether it be your family, your business? What are we going to see come from you this season?
You know, I think there's a lot of relatability. I think I can come off on social media as very, especially Instagram, a little bit more polished when it comes to my photos and things like that. You know, I don't do a lot of smiling photos, or, you know, I have this very like fashion luxury look sometimes, unless you see some of my reels, which I think I'm very funny. But at the same time, you're going to see a lot of my story and my upbringing and why I am the way I am, just as far as the hustle mentality, the fact that I'm never very vulnerable, how I feel like I always have to go and I never really turn off. And I think coming from my background and then being where I am today was just a lot of hard work on my own. I didn't marry rich or ask anyone to give me anything like this. I'm all self-made and I'm very, very proud of it. And I think that the audience would really, really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm 100% real. What you see is what you get.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil anything, but in episode, I think it's episode 3, you open up in the Hamptons about your upbringing. And I think it's a really fascinating scene that I think people are going to take a lot away from.
Good. It gets a little bit, it gets better. I'm filled with fun stories.
Yeah. What is something that viewers might be surprised to learn about you?
I think just maybe personal things about my parents. Mm-hmm. I think viewers will be very, very shocked, and also my followers, because I have to bring them up for the simple fact that I've had this career in digital for 10 years now, and I've grown with a community. So I know that my community doesn't even know these things about me, and I share a lot. Mm-hmm. So this is something, me sharing and being a little bit more vulnerable on this show is going to shock a lot of people. And then the new audience is really, I think some of them will really relate to what I go through with my own family.
Definitely. After the cast was announced at BravoCon, did you reach out to any of the former cast members just about advice before heading into filming?
I reached out to Bethany. We follow each other on TikTok. I just said, hi, you know, hey, just introduced myself. You know, and she just told me to really just enjoy the ride. Heather Dubrow and I, we follow each other. She's super sweet. Cheering me on. I felt like she was really, really great. She's a support system there. Let's see. Dorinda. I know Dorinda gets this bad rap. I don't know why. I like her. I really like Dorinda.
We love Dorinda too.
I think she's super cool. You know, she was up front and, you know, she just gave me a little bit of advice, you know, stay true to who I am, which I really appreciate. And that's definitely who I am. I don't think that I'll ever change that. Yeah. But those three ladies for the most part.
Yeah. We had Luann and Sonia on last week and we asked them advice they would give to all you guys. And they said that exact same thing. Just be yourself, because if you're not, the fans can tell through the television screen.
I think so too. I mean, even when I watch, I can tell someone's relationship is in turmoil. Like, you know, you get in there, you start kind of going in there and decoding everything. It's really true. You have to just be yourself at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you say to fans who might be, you know, struggling with accepting this whole new cast, whole new show, et cetera?
I mean, be okay with change. Yeah. Okay. The change is a part of life. Nothing stays the same forever. You know, if something is staying the same, that means you're dead. Like, life is about change. We need to appreciate it. We need to adjust. And more importantly, give it a chance. Uh-huh. You have to give things a chance. How do you know you won't like it unless you give it a chance.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll admit I struggled a little bit at first, but I am loving, and I'm not just saying that, like I am loving the new show. You guys are so great, so authentic, so genuine. Like you're like you've said, you're just like open and honest and just sharing your personal lives with us. And I think the viewers are really going to love it. Like you're
so good. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
It was a lot filming with these ladies, you know, and they are really great girls. I've gotten to know them very, very well. You know, our kids still play together. Me and Aaron's children play together. We all tend to go for a coffee or go for lunch if we can't do a group date. I am the person who loves to get everyone together and do TikToks. I'm trying to wrangle the TikToks on everyone. Yeah. But we're real life friends. And these are the things that we go through, and we're really happy to bring everyone on along for the ride.
Yeah. And that's important in a success of any Housewives franchise. Like Chris and I have talked about this. Like there needs to be genuine relationships between the cast. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And this is very genuine between the six of you.
I agree.
Yeah.
Would you ever want to join Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip one day? Have you watched that yet?
Yeah, it's really stressful.
Talk about vacation and traveling.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a vacation. I don't know if we could call that a vacation at all. Yeah. I can't say that right now. It's very early on, but it's not really for me if I'm just looking at it. But I mean, in the long run, who knows? Yeah, I can never say never. It's just, it does seem very anxiety inducing to me.
Yeah, I agree. It would be interesting if they did like a group of the new girls and a group of like the Dorindas and Ramonas, how you all would match together. That would be fascinating.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
That would actually be
probably
hysterical.
Yeah.
Peacock should take that
idea.
Well, okay. I'll think about that one.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you on that one.
Never know.
If you could describe the new season in three words, how would you describe it?
I definitely would say dynamic, chaotic, and hilarious.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, for sure.
We're ready.
Yeah, it gets a little chaotic at times, but it's also very it's light and it's funny. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to turn my television on and produce something that's dark. You know, we all have our own things that we go through day to day. Like I want to turn on my television and I want to be entertained. And I think that this is what this show does. Yeah. It's here to
we get a fight about cheese in episode one. So that's pretty limited.
Things happen. Things happen.
Sure do.
I didn't say that, by the way.
So upset really over cheese.
It wasn't me. It was not me.
Hashtag Cheesegate.
Yeah.
Hashtag Cheesegate scandal.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sai. We're looking forward to the premiere of The Real Housewives of New York City airing this Sunday, July 16th at 9 p.m. on Bravo. The episodes will also be available the next day on Peacock. Congratulations. We're looking forward to seeing the rest of the season unfold, and we hope to chat again with you soon.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm super excited. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. Bye. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.